My original name is Timotheus Antonius Tap. I originally come from the Netherlands, which is close to the UK. I became Muslim 14 years ago, and I converted to Islam in the Netherlands in a city called Nijmegen. It's close to the German border. And ever since, I go by the name of Amin. There was a moment in time, the same year that I came, that I went to that college, that the time of Ramadan came.
Right.
And I was about 17 years old at the time. That same year, I started fasting for the first time in my life, although I wasn't a Muslim. That gave me a certain willpower, and if I could leave off that which is halal, normally, drink and food, I felt I can leave off other things as well. It made it more easy. I started to become more Islamic, so to speak. I left off certain things which I knew that were impermissible in Islam, because I started to feel a disgust from it. And I felt also sort of like an hypocrisy in myself, that I knew that this way was right, and still I took a different way. And this is actually what happened, because in the 4 years after I first did Ramadan, and that I was 17 at the time, every year I did Ramadan. I grew up in a small town in the Netherlands, and when I was about 12 years old, I started thinking more about life in general, and about religion in specific. And when I went to my new college in a larger town called Nijmegen, then I got to know many Muslims, and my life started changing. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought me into contact with a Dutch brother called Abdullah Abu Bakr.
I met Amin when I was started to live in a city called Nijmegen, and some Muslims were studying on the same school introduced me to him, saying that he was interested in Islam. After a couple of months, I met him actually in a bus, and then we found out we went off the bus from the same bus stop, and then we started talking and discussing about Islam, and we found actually out that we live very close towards each other. Like, I live 20 meters away from the bus stop on the right, and he lived like 20 meters away from the bus stop on the left.
And this friend of mine, he actually introduced me more to Islam, and he explained many things to me about the Tawheed and about many issues.
الخصال الحميدة في الإسلام كثيرة جدا، ولكن الذي لفت انتباه أمين في الإسلام من خصال حميدة هي الطهارة. الطهارة، نعم الطهارة.
There are many ayat in the Quran about cleanliness, amongst which in Surah Al-Baqarah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who purify themselves. In general, I don't know why, but white Europeans in general have like a superiority complex, and they view outsiders, and especially Muslims, as in a very negative light. And when I got to know Muslims, they were the ones that actually taught me how to be clean. And at-tahara was for me, I mean, as I said, the fitra, it's inside, loves cleanliness. And especially the Muslimin, they put great importance on this. And that was one of the things that attracted me to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that Allah loves the one that purifies themselves. And this was actually a reason for me, or a click. It clicked between me and Islam, is because Muslims, every time they pray, they make al-wudu. They have marital relations with their wives, they do ghusl. And in Islam, we have many things which promote cleanliness. And for example, when we visit the bathroom, an istinja, and this was something which was amazed me. It was the opposite from what I thought that Muslim life was about. And I can honestly say that I actually learned to be clean and learned cleanliness from Muslims and from Islam.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يقول إن الله يحب التوابين ويحب المتطهرين. تخيل إذا كنت على طهارة تأتيك محبة من الله سبحانه وتعالى وأيضاً مغفرة للذنوب. حصل أمين وصديق المقرب إليه أبو بكر على دعوة فيها تجمع لشباب مسلمين، وكان في هذا التجمع الوحيد غير مسلم هو أمين، ولكن بحكمة من صديق أبو بكر أمر صديق أمين أن يلقي خطاباً للمسلمين فيه وعظ لهم. وسبحان الله يقول هذا الموقف كان غريب بالنسبة لي جداً.
And Abu Bakr, he asked me to give a little reminder, which I did, alhamdulillah. It was about the afterlife and that we should be taking life more seriously.
He wasn't a Muslim yet, but he said very beautiful words that I had nothing to add towards it. Then I went home and they went to some other places.
And when the evening was finished and we all went home, me and some friends, we had an appointment that we would actually go out and go to a pub, a discotheque. It was a very strange feeling because I had just an hour before had preached about the afterlife and about life in general. And there I was in a pub with loud disco music, barely dressed women around me, people dancing, smoke, lights. And inside I felt this sense of nifaq, hypocrisy. And at one point I told my friend, you know, I'm going home, I'm off. When the doors opened, I got out and it was almost like I got oxygen again. And I felt like if I had taken this life and thrown it behind my back. It was already in the middle of the night, it was 3 o'clock. My friend Abu Bakr once told me that if I was prepared to take the Shahada, that I shouldn't wait. And he told me that don't let the shaitan come and try to influence you and take you away from making that specific decision. So I was on my way home and I took my phone. It was already half past three in the morning, but I knew Abu Bakr, he wouldn't mind. So I called his number and miraculously he did pick up the phone.
Approximately 4 o'clock in the night, something like that, or 3 o'clock in the night, just before Fajr started, I get a phone call for Amin saying that he wanted to become a Muslim. So I actually just woke up and I went to his house straight away.
Normally he turns off his phone, but that day, alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah, his phone was on and he picked up the phone. At first, he was very sleepy and he didn't know what was going on. But I said, Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr, wake up, brother. I want to become a Muslim. And he was still very sleepy. He said, yeah, okay. Now I get it. Let's meet. So at one point, I walked towards his home. And the brother and me, we actually lived very close together. And it was in the middle of the night, and I can still remember the day that it was very dark and there was only street lights lighting the sidewalk, and I could see him from a distance with a huge smile on his face. And when we met, we hugged and we went to my house, and there he spoke about the pillars of Iman. And when he explained those to me, he said, okay, are you prepared to be a Muslim? And I said, yes. So then he did the Shahada, and he said, repeat after me. And slowly by slowly, I did it in Arabic. And then I did it in the Dutch language. We hugged, and here I am as a new Muslim. Brothers and sisters who were born Muslim, that step by step they go away from Islam, go away from the Sunnah, and fall into sins, and even worse, al-bid'ah and ash-shirk. All the chasing after the dunya, it's really not worth it. I was born in one of the most liberal countries on earth, and I became Muslim when I was 21 years old. I did many, many things that Allah Azza wa Jal forbids. And I can tell you for a fact, it doesn't make you happy at all. Maybe your fellow countrymen, they don't see you when you go on a holiday to Thailand or even Egypt or other places, Spain. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you. Please, my brothers and sisters, you have been given a gift which is indescribably valuable. There's nothing comparable to Islam, and it is the only way that you will even have a chance in the hereafter to go to paradise. قل أعوذ برب الناس مالك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس. I have a question. This smartphone here, can it be created by itself? It has a button. It has a microphone, a camera. On the other side, a camera. All of these things, they have a function. This little device here has so many functions, but it doesn't compare at all to only the human being. So if you reflect only upon yourself and think about your eyes, your tongue, your ears, everything that you have in life, think about the creation. If I hold only this piece of skin in my hand, now if you understand that a smartphone cannot come in and out of itself, and you see that the eyes have a function, the tongue has a function, the heart has a function, the organs, everything has a function, then you must understand that there is a creator. And this creator has not put us on this earth for nothing. He has sent messengers so that we would know what to do, how to interact with each other, and first and foremost, how we need to worship him. Because Allah says in the Quran that he created the jinn and mankind only to worship him.
ما هو القرآن في حياتك؟ ما هي قيمة القرآن في حياتك أخي أمين؟
To be honest, I almost feel like a hypocrite when I have this book in my hand. This book here, it should be for all of us, it should be a guidance. I may have a long beard and people may think very good of me, but I struggle like anybody else. Everybody struggles in this life. Any problem that we have, and everybody has problems, we should refer it back to Allah Azza wa Jal and the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we should increase in our ibadah, increase in reading Quran, and that is my nasiha to every Muslim around the world, including myself. My wish would be to make Hijrah to Saudi Arabia and study at the Islamic University in Medina or in Mecca. That is my all-time life wish.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I was originally nervous before I came here, but then I just realized, you know, I was so happy to be Muslim that it just kind of all went away. Alhamdulillah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. I've been given 10 minutes to tell you everything about what led me to Islam, which any convert will tell you. That's going to be tough, but I'll give it my best shot. As was mentioned, I'm 23 years old. I'm an engineering student, and I'm also working full-time right now. And alhamdulillah, I have the privilege of studying here in the Alam program. I've been Muslim for about 4.5 years now, and I've been able to learn a significant amount of Arabic, learn some Islamic fiqh, and even some hifz al-Qur'an. So alhamdulillah, it's great to be here.
The Holy Trinity was something, obviously, that was preached at Methodist church, but it was something I always struggled to get the concept of. And obviously, I understood that it was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But then I was taught about Jesus in Sunday school, but then I was confused that Jesus was God, you know, because I learned about God and then I learned about Jesus, and then it's like, but it's the same thing, and I never understood the concept of it. And actually, at 4 years older, I had a really powerful dream where I actually went to heaven. I died in my dream, and I went to heaven, and I got there, and you know, and I saw the beautiful garden and flowers and birds and all this kind of thing, and I was looking for Jesus to greet me, you know, because obviously from my teachings in Christianity, you know, I prayed to Jesus and this sort of thing, and so I was looking for Jesus, but Jesus wasn't there to greet me. And actually the garden was empty where I was walking. But an angel came to me and said that it's not Jesus that you need to go to, you need to go to God. And in my heart I knew where I had to go. I was like walking forward and I had to go to God. And I was basically walking. And at that point I woke up and I still remember it. I was 4 years old and I still remember that dream. And I woke up like feeling all over my body. And I was saying to my mum, like, am I alive? I've just been dead, like, you know. And my mum was like really freaked out by this dream, and I told her, you know, I recalled that I was looking for Jesus, I couldn't find Jesus, but I was going to go to God, so my mum actually spoke to the priest about it, and he said, although he didn't understand the dream, that it was a blessing that I had a dream that I actually went to heaven. So that was a concept that always stuck with me, that, you know, that when I died I was going to God, I wasn't going to Jesus.
I went to the bishop and told him that I'd like to take it a step further and become a priest. After my training in Rome had finished, I returned back to the UK, was ordained a priest, and I worked as a Roman Catholic priest in a parish. And I see, you know, when I was sitting in those lecture halls in Rome, learning about St. Thomas Aquinas and the Bible and church history, I can see now that I wasn't training to be a priest. I was training to be talking to you today as a Muslim. That I know now that it was Allah Almighty's plan from the beginning of time that I would be Muslim and I'd be sitting here today talking to you about Islam.